Okay, Kathy's not here yet. I think what I'm going to do is do my thank yous now before the end. There's so many people to thank for all the hard work they've done. Diana Sandel's not here today. We let her, instead of having to hobble around continuing fighting on that cast of hers, we let her have the day off. But she certainly worked hard. Let's hear it for Mary Lou. Yes, yes, Diana did. She'll hear the applause way back in Carmichael or wherever she lives. Mary Lou and Pinky, they did their usual outstanding job running around, doing the registration. Let's hear it for them. We just couldn't make this run without them. It just wouldn't go. And we hope that they will pay a visit to Fresno. So in October, we hope all of you will pay a visit to Fresno, of course. Sarah Ayat. Sarah, boy, she was everywhere this weekend. Let's give it up for Sarah. And we're so thrilled in Sacramento to have Sarah as one of us because she's just wonderful. And, of course, our audio people, Teresa and
Raviel.
Yes, almost. I didn't want to mess it up. And Raviel, her assistant. Let's hear it for him as well. And we hope to have Teresa back. At least she won't have much of a drive if she comes back in October, because she's very close to home, so in Fresno. So we'll see. But they do just an outstanding job, and it's always, you know, Teresa not only, Teresa plays volunteer, she does the audio, she just wears all these hats, and she just has so much energy. We're so lucky to have all these folks here. And, that's right. No, I'm going to get to them. We just don't have individual names. We had so many wonderful, both telephone pioneers and nursing students. That's right. Nursing students, I didn't know my city was as cosmopolitan as it was. There were nursing students from all over the world here. You know, they go into Sac State. Maybe Gene imports them. I don't know exactly how that happens, but, Wow, yeah, that's pretty amazing. There are people from France and Panama and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they learned a lot. We love to have them. Pioneers, of course, were here. Goes without saying that Ed Branch just was doing everything he normally does, unless we make him so sick that he can't attend the convention. But he was just everywhere this week as well, and so we're looking forward to all the help from Fresno. I know we're going to get pioneer help down there. Sarah will make sure we can arrange that. And yeah, we certainly hope so. We certainly hope so. So, is Kathy here yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, maybe we'll... yeah, I know she is. Maybe we will... do we have anybody who would like to volunteer to be our invocation person? I know Abby is not in the room at the moment. Okay. All right. There's a Hanlon.
Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's borrow a hand in prayer. And let's remember those that have passed away, that have been diligent and dedicated to CCB and to their lives and their family and everything. So anyway, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We know that you are with us every step of the way and that you always care for us and love us. And we pray for the families of those people that have passed away. And we pray for those that are ill right now. And we just lift them up to you for your Holy Spirit to be upon them. Grant us travel mercy that we travel back home today and as we plan our next trip to Fresno. And bless us this day. Amen.
Okay, thank you, David. Mary Beth, are you in the room? She is not. Mary Beth. Yes. Okay. Okay, let's bring on for the first of his hats our secretary in his secretary hat, which I don't know what it has. Maybe it has a bow, and maybe it has a tassel, and maybe it has a, I don't know, but that's the secretary hat. So let's hear it for Gabe Griffith.
Geez, now I just need to figure out a routine to go with all those descriptions Jeff gave.
Well, we're not going there.
All right, let's not give Roger a mic. Okay, I think I'm here this time to read the business minutes from last fall's convention business meeting, fall convention business meeting. The invocation was given by, I hope I got this right, Gussie Morgan. Constitution and bylaws. Jerry Consler described three potential constitution amendments or constitutional amendments. The first one is in regards to members having to reside in California. The second relates to legislative members not listening to CCB when we don't have a presence in their district. The third relates to a constitutional amendment that would have CCB go to one annual convention rather than the two a year we have now. It was moved and seconded by many to accept the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report. The motion passed unanimously. Treasurer's report. Chris Gray told us about some FDIC-insured rates for our investments. He promised that he would always try to find the best and safest investments to do the best for CCB that they can. CCB is also always trying to reduce expenses. Chris recognized Ed Branch for his work with looking for lower rates when possible. The 2005 and 2006 audits are now done. Chris told us about some of the procedures involved in preparing audits. Chris then talked about our income and expenses to date. CCB has brought in more than the budget projected, but has also spent more than projected. He said that CCB cannot continue to run a deficit budget and asked the membership to let the president know if anyone has any ideas to help increase the budget. It was moved and seconded to accept the treasurer's report. The motion passed. Mitch Pomerantz said that he thinks the CCB president should establish a task force to look into possible thrift store opportunities for CCB. Jeff recognized our audio duo of Teresa and Tim. He also recognized the volunteers and staff who have helped with this convention. Resolutions. Gabe Griffith read the resolutions. There were 9 resolutions. Resolution 2008-B1 dealt with rehab funding. It was read in concept only because this had already been passed and a letter sent to the Department of Rehabilitation. The final copy of this resolution will be published in the Blind Californian. It was moved and seconded to endorse the concept of this resolution. The motion passed. Resolution 2008-B2 dealt with paratransit destination arrival times. It was moved and seconded to accept this resolution. The motion passed. Resolution 2008-B3 dealt with proposed changes to state standards and regulations. It was moved and seconded to accept this resolution, and the motion passed. Resolution 2008-B4 dealt with rehab counselor referrals to private agencies. It was moved and seconded to refer this resolution to the CCB Board of Directors for further research and action. The motion passed. Resolution 2008-B5 dealt with the online presence of CCB. It was moved and seconded to adopt this resolution. The motion passed. Resolution 2008-B6 dealt with an Office of Administrative Hearing regarding a BEP vendor. It was moved and seconded to adopt this resolution. The motion passed. Resolution 2008-B7 dealt with reimbursement funds to the Department of Rehabilitation. It was moved and seconded to adopt this resolution. The motion passed. Resolution 2008-B8 was the hotel appreciation resolution. It was moved and seconded to adopt this to accept this resolution. The motion passed. Resolution 2008-B9 was the volunteer appreciation resolution. It was moved and seconded to adopt this resolution. The motion passed. It was moved and seconded to accept the resolution committee report, and the motion passed. Announcements. Richard Rada announced the four CCB email lists. The email address to subscribe to any of these lists is ccb.moderator@gmail.com. Gabe announced that his new address to send items for the connection is gabriel_griffith@sbcglobal.net. And committee reports. Artis Bazin announced that the membership committee has an email list, and they're collecting names and emails or email addresses for this list. There is no old business. There was no new business. And the spring 2009 convention will be held the first weekend in April. It was moved and seconded to adjourn the fall 2008 CCB convention. The motion passed. Respectfully submitted, Gabe Griffith, Secretary.
Okay. Do we have any additions, corrections, or deletions to the minutes? Yes, Roger.
I don't know whether I was totally paying attention, but I think that this minute just covered the Sunday morning business session. Is that correct? I think it is.
Yeah.
The business minutes for the convention needs to include all business done at the convention, including the elections and the credentials report. So we need to move toward that goal.
Okay. Are you willing to, for this particular year, accept the minutes as is, but then for the next convention under the realization that, and that is correct, Roger's statement is correct, that the next minutes will properly include the other segments of the business meeting?
Mr.
Yeah.
President?
Yes, Bernice.
Let's see. How do I say this? Is it my understanding that summary of minutes placed in the VC have to be approved before they can be put in the VC?
Well, the Board of Directors minutes certainly do. I don't know that we never really settled on this issue with respect to the business meeting minutes. It would stand to reason, but I don't think that applies to, say, elections, because clearly
information really needs to be in the
meeting. Yes, it does. It clearly does. Yeah.
And Mr. President Bernice, I can include that.
I would be willing to accept these minutes with the proviso that when they're submitted to the BC, they include the election information.
And I can definitely do that. I apologize for not having those included in this one.
You know, that's where we got so confused in years past about who was elected to what term, whether it was a partial term or full term, you know, all that sort of thing. And when we have it published like that, then it really helps, because trying to file the minutes to,
yeah, absolutely correct. Okay, so with the proviso that election results will be included within the minutes for filing, do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Okay. I don't think the treasurer is here yet.
Chris is here.
Yep. Chris is here. Okay. Chris, I'll let you make your way up.
I'm right here.
You're here. Okay. Sorry.
If I quit coughing, I'll be happy to give the report.
I did not know you were up here.
That's okay. I sneaked up very quietly. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and hope you're all doing well. I'm going to give a, you'll be glad to know, a much briefer report than I gave at the board meeting on Thursday. For those of you who were there, you probably know more about our budget than you ever wanted to. And I thank you for your attention and your patience as the board went through that process. One thing I'd like to highlight good things when I can. The minutes mentioned the work that we have tried to do in the last year with regard to improving the rate of interest we get on our CDs and interest-bearing accounts. And due to the diligence of our president, myself, and Ed Branch, in 2008, we forecast $4,000 in interest payments from bank savings, CDs, etc. We actually brought in $5,269.81. So while we were having some issues with income, I'm happy to say that we were 31% over our projection in that area. I thought you might be interested to hear that, especially because it was called out in the minutes that you just got done hearing. I'll give you a combined treasurer summation and budget information all at one time, if that's okay with you guys. Our total income for 2008 was $307,882.66. This was 93% of what we projected, which all in all isn't bad. You're going to be some percentage points off of any projection. So I think that's pretty darn good. The income projection for 2009 is $281,750. We continue to work toward finding new sources of income, and I think that that work will probably increase even in 2009, because as you can see, the income projection for 2009 is lower than 2008. That's the wrong direction. So we want to get that changed if we can, and so I think there'll be a lot of work done on that. Our total expenses for 2008 were $388,775.75. So we were 14% over what we had hoped for the year, but we got through it. We're still here, and the projection for spending for 2009 and the budget adopted by the board and I'm presenting to you now is $336,006.00. $336,006. Mr. President, there's a lot of things I could say about the report. I guess I should say, and not to end on a difficult note, we all know that 2008 was a difficult year for investing. We're lucky that we had as much of our funding as we do in CDs and not in stocks. But the stock market was not kind to CCB, and we're going to do our very best in 2009 not to dip into those of our accounts that are stock accounts, brokerage accounts, because in 2008 we have an unrealized loss of $324,000, actually more than $324,606.03. I remain optimistic that we're going to be able to make some of that loss up. We're going to show some progress in that area in 2009. Let's hope so anyway. I don't know about you guys, but I've got some retirement money bound up in all this too. So we will hope for the best. We'll leave those accounts sitting quietly for now, gaining more money, and hope that I can tell you something positive about them in 2010. Mr. President, that concludes my report for the Treasury.
Okay, questions and comments? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to accept the Treasurer's report? There is a motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, before I think I heard Kathy. No? Oh, okay. Boy, I'm losing it today. I want to make an announcement up here at the front. And maybe what we should do in order to not disrupt things, for those of you who are staying to the end, you can come up and get it at the end. But for those of you who may not, we have membership materials in Braille and print. And if anybody wants it, maybe they can raise their hands quietly and we can have them distributed or something like that. It's probably the easiest way to make sure people get the materials in their hands. So, yeah. If you want Braille, raise your left hand. If you want print, raise your right hand. That woke up the crowd. Okay.
Mr. President, someone wants to know what membership materials
are. They are handouts that the membership committee artists compiled as chair of the membership committee, and they will help you hopefully recruit members and do other things, retain members, and help for your chapter. So, yes, indeed, that's what they are. Okay. So how many are you going to be in Fresno?
Hey!
All right. All right. Diamond Jubilee, October 29th to the 1st. And yes, indeed. I already have an idea who I might pick as my banquet MC, but I haven't asked him yet. I might ask him publicly. This has never been done before. How many of you, let's take a vote. How many of you think Al Gill should be the banquet MC?
Yay!
How many of you don't?
No.
There you go. There you go.
I'm sorry.
Hell no.
Oh, no. Yes, but wait till I get him up there as the MC. Ha ha! Okay, let's move on now to our Constitutional and Bylaws Chair, Jerry Consler. Jerry?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me? Good morning, everyone. I normally tend to wax poetic on beautiful mornings like this, but we have to cut to the quick this morning because there's a little bit to consider. We have two constitutional amendments that I'm presenting to you. and votes will be taken on these this fall. The first has to do with Article 5 meetings. I'm doing this from memory, so bear with me. And we find this language: there shall be a regularly scheduled meeting of the California Council of the Blind semi-annually, the time and place to be fixed by the president or the convention. And the proposed amendment is to delete those four letters, S-E-M-I, and so it would read, there shall be a regularly scheduled meeting of the California Council of the Blind annually, the time and place to be fixed by the president or the convention. As you know, this has already generated some spirited discussion. And you should know that such a change generates a ripple through the remaining parts of our two documents. Some of the changes that would be required are more or less automatic, getting rid of the word fall or the word spring or references to the two conventions. Actually, some of these are so automatic that you probably don't need amendments to do that. We'll do that anyway, because you can't have a document that's in conflict with itself. But others, because the fact of semi-annual meetings and the directions and provisions in the documents are so interwoven, will require some judgment and skill to generate properly were this to be adopted. And I'll give you two examples. One is in Article 11, Board of Directors' Duties, wherein the treasurer requests information and dues from the membership, from the affiliates, and then that information goes to the president, and there's a time spelled out there, 45 days in advance of the spring convention. And then an opportunity is given to the affiliates to update their membership lists 30 days before the fall convention. So we'll work on how that may come about in language. And another one is in the bylaws regarding nominations and how that works. As you know, nominations are generated in the spring convention, and then votes are taken on those nominations and others that may come to the floor in the fall convention. So these are problematic, and you know, they can be worked on. They're not impossible to solve. So I don't think those are profound enough to generate hesitancy on the part of considering what all is involved in adopting such an amendment. The committee, I've kind of insisted, and the committee has supported this, that the committee take no position on this. This is not the kind of thing that we normally come across, which improves the democratic processes within the organization or makes things smoother or improves actions. It's a profound, profound change. Individual members of the committee obviously are free to vote as they wish on such a thing. Now, there's another aspect of this that may not be, it obviously is not in the domain of the committee, it's probably up to the convention, and that is when such a thing might take place. Now, I've been asked to the person who proposed this to the committee speak at this point, that is Ken Metz, and then I understand some comments will be made regarding actions taken by the Board of Directors, and so I'll ask the flow of that to be conducted by President Tom, and then I would like the floor again for the second proposed amendment following
okay.
that.
Well, I'm slightly concerned, even though I am a proponent, we can't debate it, so I'm not sure how appropriate it is for Ken to
I wasn't talk. Seeking debate, only explanation. If the parties wish to do that, if they don't, I'm ready to go on.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's appropriate. The board recommendation is objective in nature, and it's just to enhance debate, and I think that's okay, but I'm not sure that we can have either a proponent or opponent.
That's fine.
Say anything. I think that would be out of order.
That's fine. You ready for the other one then?
Yeah, I think we can have Gabe read the gist of the board motion, because that board motion is really, as I view it, it's moot to some degree, but it gives a sense of how we might proceed to enhance the debate on the issue. And I don't see anything wrong with having the body hear what the recommendation of the board would have been had this been on the floor today. If there's no objection, I think we'll hear that.
Do you want that now?
Yes.
Fine.
Gabe, do you have that?
Give me just...
Okay.
I've got... Mr. President?
Yes, Peter.
General point of information. Basically, for a constitutional... changing a constitutional amendment, does that... Is that a two-thirds vote of the membership to pass the... Or is it a simple majority?
It will be a two-thirds vote this fall under Article 17, Section 17.1. It's presented at this convention and voted on at the next convention.
Okay, this is a board motion or recommendation from Thursday night. As Jeff said, parts of it, I think, are... slightly out of date, I guess, with reading it today, but I will read it in its entirety here. Chris moved to 1, recommend on a Sunday that the proposed constitutional amendment, parentheses S, brought before the California Council of the Blind by the Constitution and Bylaws Committee at the Sacramento Convention be distributed for discussion to chapters and membership by the president or designee, and that the president be authorized to appoint a committee to gather information and responses from the membership. And 2, that at our Fresno Convention, a session of CCB membership be convened during the Saturday general session to get opinions of the membership regarding the amendment, and a compilation of information from membership be presented at that time. And 3, and that the board recommend that at the Sunday business meeting in Sacramento, that this matter be referred back to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee until the meeting in Fresno at the fall 2009 convention of CCB.
Okay, so I'm just going to comment very quickly. I will certainly, you know, obviously this recommendation is moot to some degree, but I will certainly proceed to attempt to carry out the notion of disseminating information to chapters to the end that as much can be discussed vis-a-vis the pros and cons, effects, etc., of alternatives to the pros and cons of this constitutional amendment. I think that's about all that really should be said, and I'll turn it back over to
Mr. President,
the chair. Yes.
As the maker of the board motion, may I just say a few quick things?
Sure.
One is I commend the Constitution and Bylaws Committee for being smarter than we were late Thursday night and handling things in this way. I think it's totally appropriate. I would hope, though, Mr. President, that you'll give some consideration to the idea of a Saturday discussion and action on this amendment, because that's part of the original motion.
Yes.
It might be good to preserve.
I think that's a wise idea, and I intended to do that. Peter asked for the floor
Thank
next.
You. Oh, Chris asked my question.
Okay, all right. Yes, as long as we're not, remember, we cannot debate the
I'm not debating.
Oh, I just want to make clear. I assume you weren't
debating. All I just want to say is the part of that recommendation was for the establishment of a coordinating committee who was going to have the responsibility of disseminating and gathering the information. And if we don't have that committee, we're not going to have a lot of information that we need for the membership. So I really strongly feel that we should follow an entity that's not going to influence at all, but just gather the information so it can present it, so right. People know what it is. Otherwise, we're just going to go one way and may not get anything back in return.
Okay. Thank you, Gene. Very, very well put. Okay. Jerry, do you want to sum up on this?
Yes. Thank you. Our second proposed amendment is in Article 7, Membership, Section 7.1. We find these words: any resident of the state of California who has attained the age of 16 years is eligible to become a voting member of the California Council of the Blind. We have a proposal from Frank Welty to delete the residency requirement, those six words following the word any. So we're deleting resident of the state of California and replacing those words with the word person so that it would read, and I didn't memorize the entire section, none of the rest of it would change, but it would then read, any person who has attained the age of 16 years, et cetera, et cetera. We do have members who are not residents of the state of California. So that is our second proposed amendment, Mr. President. And I now would invite any other members of the committee, I thank the committee for its hard work, who wish to speak to the convention. Roger or Mary Beth? Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. President. That's okay. My report.
Great. Do we have a motion to accept the Constitutional Bylaws Committee report?
No.
Motion. Do we have a motion and a second? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. The motion is carried. Abstention, sorry. The motion is carried. Okay. It looks like we'll have some busy times in Fresno.
Mr. President?
Yes. Peter?
Do we have to vote on the motion that was... The board motion that was...
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Now, Kathy, it's your turn.
Before I say what I'm asking you to sign for, I want to say something to you and to the convention committee and everybody. I have met some of the students, I've heard some of the students, and you know what? They come here and they hear a lot from us. Like me. And I really wish you would set aside an hour at the next convention and bring those students out. Let us meet them. Let us know who they are. So when we meet them, we can shake their hand. Boy, you've got a girl here now who can really sing. You've got a bass player. Lord knows what else they can do. But I really think that we should start involving students in programming and listening to them, getting to know them.
Excellent idea, Kathy. Thank you.
Now, for what I have time for, I pride myself on being able to keep my temper pretty well and having a great love for people that I do have. I overlook a lot of things that happen, but I want to show you something, people. Last night, at the awards committee presentation, I was shocked, and I have to admit, very angry. And I think that what happened there was an insult to the convention, to the committee, to the person who made the nomination and to the recipient of the award. It was bad enough, but to have that happen, at one of the few times we had a legislator who was voting was here and sat through the whole thing, that made it doubly bad. This is my recommendation. Anybody that's going to chair, first of all, we need to get the microphones. If I had a mic in my hand, which I didn't, we have the mic that has to be passed around, so I did not have control right then. Of course, some people say that I have too much control. But anyway, if I had that microphone, I would not have accepted anybody calling from the floor for any reason. If we have a meeting like this, anybody's willing to call, you can be told if you're out of order or not. But when anybody calls in the middle of an awards presentation or any kind of a ceremony, first of all, we don't need to add a voice at the awards committee, and we don't need to say how great they are. We applaud for that. And if anybody disagrees with what we do, we don't need that either. Everybody doesn't like everybody, and all things are not equal. But I tell you something, we better hold on to our, we're getting a lot of new things going here, but people have to know that when you call from the floor, just please nicely say to them, we decline, it's not appropriate to have a talk at this time. If I had a mic in my hands, what I heard, I couldn't do it. Now, I think we have to be very careful in this organization. We've had a gentleman here, and so help me, all I can remember is his first name, Bernard. He's here from Texas. He's been looking at our convention, and he does webs and things, and he had a choice he was advised to go to an organization for the blind. They gave him the choice of Arizona and California, and he said, everybody told him to come to California. Well, he saw all that, as did the assembly person. It's not appropriate. It just is not. We have to keep making sure that we don't lose the respect for each other in this organization and respect for the organization. And if you've got laundry that needs washing, don't bring it to this convention.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy.
And I do want to say for my committee that when we get an award, we don't get a detective to go and look and see about the person. We don't have to. We know most of the people that we give awards to. Somebody in the committee knows them. And I really feel that, you know, I am very proud of what the committee's done and what they do. I remember putting someone in the Hall of Fame, and we came out and somebody cut me on the way out of the bank and said, look, everybody can put that person in there. Well, by the time I got out of the banquet room, three people came up to me and said, oh, how good you put that person in there. They so deserve it. So we don't all agree on everything, but I'm proud of my committee, and I apologize to them that they had to go through that and all the rest of you last night.
Thank you. Okay, so we will now move on to the Resolutions Committee report. From in his second hat, I guess this hat must have like a pin on it. I don't know. Well, no, I don't know.
No, what this is just an A's hat.
It's a turntable.
A turntable. That's even better. That's even better. Okay, Mr. Griffith.
Thank you, Mr. President. This year, we had 10 resolutions submitted to us. And two were withdrawn, so we'll be reading 8. That does not include the appreciation resolutions, which will be read at the end. So, and then I've got a few remarks after the reading of the resolutions, if I may be indulged for so or for such things. But let's get started. Resolution 2009-A1. Is submitted to us by David Mendel, and it is dealing with blind-friendly or calling for blind-friendly features to be added to Duxbury's Braille translating systems. Whereas the Duxbury Braille Translator for Windows, DBT, is a widely used Braille translation program. And whereas the Megadots DOS-based software is a blind-friendly alternate Braille translation program, which is also owned by Duxbury. And whereas, in the opinion of some blind people, including assistive technology trainers, DBT is not intuitive, is difficult to learn, and is awkward to use. And whereas one can move quickly between print and Braille and review material with Megadots And whereas it is more challenging to move between print and braille and review material with DBT, and what I'm going to do here is I will read the boilerplate information in this resolution, and then I will skip it on subsequent resolutions, but it will be inserted later. So now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 5th day of April 2009 at the Arden West Hilton Hotel in the city of Sacramento, that this organization urged Duxbury Systems to add MegaDot-style blind-friendly features to DBT within 1 year. And be it further resolved that this resolution be forwarded to the American Council of the Blind for action at its 2009 National Convention. The Resolutions Committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Okay. Excuse me. So we have a resolution on the floor. Do we have discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted. Very good. Gabe?
Thank you. Okay, moving along. Resolution 2009-A2 is rehab counselors being assigned to working cubicles. It was submitted by Trish Leitz. Whereas the implementing regulations of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, as set forth in 34 CFR 361-38, impose strict obligations to protect confidential information. And whereas the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, for over 30 years has, as an effective method, used enclosed offices to protect clients' personal, confidential, and sensitive information. And whereas DOR is implementing the use of cubicles in place of these enclosed offices in its facilities statewide. And whereas use of these cubicles is an inherent and unavoidable violation of client confidentiality rights as set forth in the above mentioned regulations. And whereas use of these cubicles prevents counselors from protecting the confidentiality rights of the clients. And whereas the disabilities of rehabilitation counselors and clients increase the difficulty of maintaining confidentiality. For example, 1, counselors who use assistive technology such as screen readers, screen magnification, or voice recognition software that publicize or reveal confidential information. Or 2, counselors working with consumers who are hard of hearing must use a loud and clear voice which carries greater distances, publicizing and revealing confidential information. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization call upon the Department of Rehabilitation to take whatever action necessary to rescind the move to cubicle settings. And be it further resolved that copies of this resolution be sent to the Department of General Services, the Director of the Department of Rehabilitation, the Chair and members of the State Rehabilitation Council, the Rehabilitation Services Administration, and the Blind Advisory Committee. The Resolutions Committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor for adoption of the resolution. Any discussion?
Mr. President.
Jerry.
Hello, everyone. I certainly agree with the spirit of the resolution. In fact, it couldn't come soon enough, as far as I'm concerned. But in the interest of accuracy, the department's policy is that any time an office is required to relocate for whatever reason, either through expiration of lease or an office closure because of low production or the management's decision to consolidate offices, that's when cubicles will be used. For example, my office happens to be located in East Los Angeles. We are fortunate in that we have enclosed offices. And believe me, every office that has a lease time remaining is going to be fighting tooth and nail to have our leases extended or renewed simply because we want to avoid that. But I just want to make sure the resolution doesn't get bogged down in department response saying, well, we really don't implement statewide use of cubicles. It's only when offices are required to move. And in that's when that happens, there is no exception. Everybody, including rehab supervisors, will be installed in cubicles. So, the department provides, quote, quiet rooms wherein counselors can arrange for an appointment in one of these quiet rooms to conduct intake interviews or conduct client interviews. However, as Tricia suggests, you know, that doesn't cover telephone conversations, doesn't cover doesn't cover supervisor counselor interviews, discussions which may or may not take place in a quiet room. It's just altogether, I think, not only an insult to the professionalism of the rehab counselor, of the whole rehab discipline, but at the same time, we're asking more and more and more of these counselors in terms of their educational alphabet soup, and yet we are creating an atmosphere that I think tends to degrade the profession.
Thank you, Chair. Any other discussion? Kathy?
Chairman. The BAC committee, the Blind Advisory Committee, knows about this and took exception to what was happening, brought it to the attention of the director and the whole slew of people who had come to our meetings, and we were told about the quiet rooms, and I raised the question, were there enough quiet rooms, and were they doing enough business that they could manage with just a quiet room? And they said no. They had quiet rooms, but they were telling us that when they had to move, that GSA was involved in where they're going to move and what they're going to get. And we objected strenuously to this, but we were told that, as far as I know, this is done. I think they already have made the arrangements to do this. So I think it's fine to send this letter to everybody, but I think everybody pretty well knows, and they don't seem to be inclined to do much else about it. So my thought is, will we accomplish something by sending this to everybody, and do we want to just send it when we know that they know and they know that they know?
And we know that they know that we know that they
any
know.
Any other discussion? Yes.
Yeah, I really agree with the sentiment that Kathy has expressed. And we do need to take some care about what we advocate for, and whether we like it or not. And I don't like it, you know. But I certainly have had to deal with it in my career. The way that the working world is going these days, people are in cubicles and they use rooms when they have to have privacy. We're not going to change that. So I intend to vote no. Although I agree, I think this is a bad way to go, but we're not going to change it.
President, this is Frank Welty.
Frank?
And I have to respond to Chris by simply asking you, would you go to a doctor, a lawyer, a marriage counselor, or a psychiatrist in a cubicle?
No.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. Oh, we have another person. Okay.
I just want to say that, this is Tricia, just said there are legalities attached to it. So I do think we have some oomph left to speak back to the department about it and start with them once again around it. And then if we have to, you know, maybe give it to the Attorney General or Governor, or maybe take it up another notch.
Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
The resolution is abstentions. Abstentions.
I abstain.
Okay, there's only one no vote now. There was a no. She. Oh, are you another no vote, Ken?
No, Audrey.
Oh, Audrey, okay. Yes. All right. We have two no votes and an abstention. Okay, the resolution is adopted. Thank you. Okay, let's go on. Resolution number three.
Okay, resolution number three is dealing with access to national parks. And at least the one who actually wrote it, I'm not sure how much he's going to claim of it, is Jeff Tom. Are you claiming this one, Mr. President?
Yeah, but I do want to say the real person behind this, I'm not going to talk about it and discuss and debate, but the real person behind it, just to give credit, is an individual in San Diego chapter, Teresa Stockton, who really got me into doing this. So I want to give her credit. She's not here at the convention.
Okay, I couldn't remember her name, so thank you. Okay, here we go. Whereas the National Park... Whereas the national parks represent an important source of education and enjoyment to all segments of society, including those who are blind or visually impaired. And whereas efforts to provide access to national parks have generally focused on the needs of those with physical disabilities. And whereas there are significant access deficiencies in national parks for persons who are blind or visually impaired in areas such as signage, audio description of films, labeling of exhibits, and lighting in indoor venues. And whereas, even though individuals have advocated for better access for persons who are blind or visually impaired, it remains necessary for the National Park Service to update its policies and design guidelines regarding the access needs of this segment of the disability community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization write to the Director of the National Park Service, strongly urging that policy directives be developed for dissemination to park superintendents to ensure that the access needs of persons who are blind or visually impaired be met in the national parks. And be it further resolved that the National Park Service update and issue new design guidelines which will provide greater access for persons who are blind or visually impaired. And be it further resolved that this resolution be forwarded to the American Council of the Blind for action at its 2009 National Convention. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor for adoption of the resolution. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get a mic.
Okay, I would like to make a point to discuss that some national parks, being that they might have buildings or houses that maybe can't be altered or, you know, things like that, lighting and other things, my question would be, where would they put Braille signage on some of these things, and how could they really implement it without destroying the historical value of some of the parks. That's the only question I have, because let's face it, sometimes the historical people get all upset about things like that, and they're not always understanding of the needs of blind and visually impaired people.
Gene, do you want to? Gene, since I'm not, I'm leading the.
Would you like me to take over so that you can debate?
Do we have the names of people who are speaking? Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Who is that? The gentleman Gene. That just spoke? What was your name?
James Mackey was.
Okay, James Mackey. Thank you.
Gene Lozano speaking. There are federal and state historical guidelines and regulations to protect facilities, and those do have impact on access. The process is that there would be any design guidelines or regulations have to go through a public comment process where people can give input on these things there. We dealt this with our when we were appointed in the case against the California Department of Parks and Recreation for similar problems. And all those protections of historical in aspects of the park facilities, including the trails, are included and considered when doing that. So there's not going to be any damage to historical facilities or grounds. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next.
Good morning. My name is David Jackson. I was a volunteer for a while at Alcatraz, and I can tell you that there is a lot of work that needs to be done for folks who are low vision or blind who want to visit that island. And I might want to remind everybody, both the state and national parks, they're for us. And so that they need to be made accessible for everybody. And Gene is correct that what is happening now won't damage or take away any of the historical content of either the grounds or buildings. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anyone else? Is there anybody in opposition? We've heard a couple in favor and one sort of with a question. Okay, there's nobody in opposition. If you feel you must... Oh, is there anyone in opposition?
No, I just...
Okay, all right.
My name is Susan Schulter, Silicon Valley. I'll make it super brief. Ditto okay. to everything that's already been said. I have volunteered for the Silicon Wildlife Center in San Jose and done some signage work, and I can tell you that there are easy ways to get around not destroying anything historical. You can prepare braille and large print handouts that explain the historical features. The signage will not get in the way, and ditto, the parks are here for us. It can be done, and it can be done well, I think it's a very positive resolution. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. No, we're not cutting off anyone who wants to make a point. I wanted to make sure that anyone who might be opposed had a chance. That's all. Okay, I think, was there one other person?
Yeah, Audrey.
Yeah, Audrey wanted to talk. I thought so. Go ahead, Audrey.
It's a wonderful idea. We'd love to have everything accessible, but in the state of things as they are nationally at this point, do we really want to ask for things that we've done without for quite a while? And I'd like to know, when you do a resolution like this, I would like to see some evidence of the demand to justify what could be extremely expensive. I just think we ought to...
Audrey,
somebody has to justify it. Yes, they do.
I really shouldn't be entering into the debate, so but to the extent that I can tell you what Teresa Stockton told me, because otherwise I couldn't do it, what she said is the following. They've gone to various places and had discussions with people at various parks, including Yosemite and Harper's Ferry, and so various federal officials. And she also said that there is money that is doled out to the various superintendents to be used for various, you know, programs, including access, but they have very broad discretion as to what they do. I don't know how much money, and so I'm only going to leave it at that, Audrey, because you, since you asked the question, that's about as much as I have been told.
Well, that's the kind of background information that I think it would help us
right.
in making decisions. We don't want to get the reputation of being people who come out and demand this and that.
Right. She has been all over the country.
So. Yes.
Okay. Anyone else?
Mr. President.
Okay. There's the lady and then Mr. Metz.
My name is Lorraine Foster. I'm from the San Diego chapter where all of this is happening. And it's my understanding that almost all of the national parks in the U.S. have been visited, and that there is definitely interest in accommodating the blind and vision impaired by the Parks and Recreation Department in Washington.
Thank you, Lorraine. Ken?
I have one. I just wanted to say that I think even if we are sometimes few in numbers, we may have started out being few in numbers and having diabetes, few in numbers and having cancer, few in numbers and all types of things. Do we deserve the type of information that's out there for other folks? You're damn straight we do.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Heather?
Yes, Mr. President. This is Lena Bandy from Blind Students of California. I just have a comment because the question was posed, why should we do this when we've been without it for so long? And that's true of many things, including our current currency initiative. Why we've been having inaccessible currency for a very long time, and the same question could be asked of that, but it's not, because it's just as important. Access and equality is just as important in any situation.
That's right.
Okay, thank you, Lena. Anyone else? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. All right, thank you very much. We will go on to the next resolution.
Okay. Jeff or Roger or Bernice, may somebody help me out, or Gene. I forget. Am I supposed to tell the topic of the resolutions that were withdrawn?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Resolution 4 dealt with the Braille Sense and Voice Sense note takers and some of the Braille translation that happened. That one, the author withdrew it. We are going to try to do some more research and try and address maybe some other issues as well. And submit that maybe directly to ACB, but it was withdrawn. Number 5 is high-speed rail trains, or high-speed rails. And this one was Jeff, Tom, and myself kind of got together and did this. So it's kind of a committee and everything else collaboration. Whereas the state of California is preparing to build a high-speed rail system. And whereas this system is currently in the early stages of development. And whereas this high-speed rail system will be required to comply with the accessibility standards of the Americans with Disabilities Act and California Code of Regulations, Title 24, in the design as well as the construction of its facilities and vehicles. And whereas, experience has shown that in order to achieve effective accessibility, compliance with established accessibility standards must be accompanied by consultation with members of the disability community who are knowledgeable about accessible transportation issues and regulations during the design process. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization strongly urge the California High Speed Rail Development Authority to establish an advisory committee whose mission is to be actively involved in the design of its facilities and vehicles. And be it further resolved that this committee have a cross-disability representation, including people who are blind or visually impaired, with knowledge about accessible transportation issues and regulations. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second.
Could you read the first resolve clause, please, again?
I can. Resolved that this organization strongly urge the California High Speed Rail Development Authority to establish an advisory committee whose mission is to be actively involved in the design of its facilities and vehicles.
Okay. I have a question, if I might, to the to Gabe. The first resolve does not either contain the word disability before the word advisory or contain anything dealing with access.
Yes.
Is that intentional or was that an oversight? I would prefer to see the word disability put in before advisory.
A disability okay. advisory committee?
No. Just insert the word disability before advisory committee.
Right. I think that's what I'm saying, to insert so that it reads to establish a disability advisory committee.
Yes, and then
that was an oversight.
And then it should say accessibility, design accessibility, something like that.
Okay, let's hear Gene before we come to a conclusion on this. So that first amendment has been accepted then?
Yes.
As a friendly amendment. Okay, go ahead, Gene.
I'm inserting it now.
It should be an accessibility advisory committee because, as you see, the second resolve, it says representation of the disabled, because there's going to have to be people from on it that are not from the disability community. They're going to be designers, architects.
Okay. And that would officials. That would negate the need for Bernice's addition, I think,
yeah.
if you...
So, because we have to have all different...
Okay.
It can't be just the disabled.
Yeah. Okay, so it will be Accessibility Advisory Committee, correct?
Would you like me to read the clause?
Yes, thank you.
Currently? Okay. Resolved that this organization strongly urge the California High Speed Rail Development Authority to establish an Accessibility Advisory Committee whose mission is to be actively involved in the design of its facilities and vehicles.
All right, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The resolution is adopted. Okay, back to you.
Okay, resolution 2009A6 deals with concurrent conventions between CCB and the NFB of California. This was brought to us by Lisa Gordon and Sheila Gunn-Cushman. Whereas concurrent conventions present a conflict for many vendors and consumers who must choose which convention to attend. And whereas it is perceived by both outsiders and individuals within both organizations as divisive. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization try to plan their conventions so that they do not conflict with the conventions of the National Federation of the Blind of California. The committee recommends...
Order!
The committee recommends a do not pass.
Okay. All right. So, now hold it.
Hold it.
I'm I'm losing my niceness here. Now, there is no motion because the committee has not moved its adoption. So, and we do not want a negative motion. So, my parliamentary procedure will be that we now need a motion, if one will come, for the adoption of the resolution. Okay. There is a motion, and there is a motion for adoption of the resolution. So now, I'm going to recognize, I don't care, Sheila or Lisa, one of the proponents first, and then I will recognize a member of the committee, whoever decides to talk on behalf of the committee next, as opposition, and then further discussion after that.
Right here.
Hi, I'm Lisa Gordon. It was my idea originally. I'm not talking about the merits of the Federation, what anybody thinks about the Federation, but there are many vendors who want to display their products and sell products who run into problems when the two conventions conflict, and it sends a divisive message when we're also already a very small community, and in 30 years. It would be nice if, of course, we're always going to have differences, but if we could, as much as possible, work together. And it just, I don't want to get in the way of any hotel bids. That's not my intention. If it can't be prevented, it can't be. If it can't be done, it can't be done. That's why I said try, not that it has to preclude any, but that whenever possible, if there is the ability not to plan concurrent conventions, that be kept in mind as a possibility.
Okay.
And one way of making this not an issue is if the single convention constitutional amendment passes, one way of doing it, if people agree to it, is if we had a spring convention and they had a fall convention.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Someone else want to speak?
Hold it. Oh, are you done, Lisa?
I'm done.
Okay. Now, we'll take a member of the committee.
I can speak unless Gene wants
to.
Go
ahead, Gabe.
The committee didn't necessarily disagree with the sentiment of the resolution. I think the issue was more that when going out for convention bids, there are several issues or several factors to consider, including prices, locations. One of the big things is dates. We also say that we do not want to go over religious holidays. So we're already giving a narrow range of dates. We're in some cases excluding things such as Easter weekend. Oftentimes it comes down to only one or two weekends when we're able to have a convention or select between for conventions. And I don't think anybody felt like there's ever any thought of, oh, let's have it on the same convention, same weekend. But I think the concern was just that there's already so many other factors to consider when trying to find a weekend for the convention.
Point of
information. Okay. There's a point of information from Jerry, Consular, and recognize him.
Is it known whether or not any similar kind of thing has been put before that body?
No, we don't know that. Okay. So that's just a question, and that's fine. Okay, any other discussion? Okay. Did I hear Audrey?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on, Audrey.
Hi. Have you presented your resolution to the opposite group? Have you presented it to the Federation?
We're not
members. We're not at war with them either.
Okay, that's the question's been asked and answered. So, point of information.
Is it known? It was my understanding that they have a fall convention. Have they gone to two conventions a year?
No.
Okay.
It is a fall convention. We seldom have it on the same day. It has happened once, I think, in the last maybe, oh, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. But it has happened. Okay. Any other discussion? Kathy, yes.
I hate to have to come over here. It hasn't been too much of a problem, and when you have to decide whether you're going to one organization or the other, it's just a matter of which philosophy you have and where you want to go. I think that Jim Willits and I, when we were presidents, talked very nicely. We didn't say when we were having conventions, but we usually knew when we talked to each other, but when we were, it would, if we, that worries anybody, we could have the two presidents find out if they feel like that they want to do that. I don't think the Federation would particularly like us to come and ask them when they're going to have their conventions so we could make a date. I could be wrong about that. But I really think that as far as what we do and what our time is, it doesn't mean that we don't get along with them. We certainly have. But I think that we need to do our thing and just go ahead and I'm not going to vote for this resolution.
Okay. Any further discussion? Yes, if you have additional points. Oh, you haven't spoken, so that's okay.
Well, we're meeting in the middle. I'm the other author, so I'm Sheila Gunn Cushman. The only thing I want to say is that I know I've encountered people as an exhibitor when I've had a booth who come only for exhibits or mostly for exhibits. They're not deeply involved in any organization, and or there are people in kind of question part where they're trying to figure out who each organization is and what they stand for, and they're trying to go to both and figure out both. And I was, Lisa and I were talking about it last night after the resolution. By the way, neither one of us have ever done a resolution before anywhere, so this was quite a learning experience for everybody, and it was fun. I think the quickest way to solve it is that we do ours in the spring and they do theirs in the fall, and that's that. And then we don't have to worry about it.
Any further discussion?
But what I'm saying is that there are people who aren't just going to choose, and we should not force that choice. That's all. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed to the resolution say no.
No.
Okay, the resolution is not adopted. And I just want to add that it was always my policy when I was chair, and I know Gabe is the same way, to encourage anyone to submit resolutions. So we are very happy with that as many resolutions as possible are submitted by our members. So I encourage you. You know, you may not. I think Kathy always tells the story about when her first resolution was not adopted. She never gave up and went back, and hundreds since then have been adopted that Kathy has submitted. So, all right, let us go on, Gabe, to our next resolution.
All right, first let me just say that I definitely echo what Jeff said about encouraging people to submit resolutions. Resolution 7 was withdrawn. It was in regards to Braille materials and RFB&D that we are going to do some more research and find out the literature and some of that situation, see what the best way to address that is.
And a state resolution as well.
Yeah, this was in a slightly different scope than, because I know we had an RFB&D resolution a couple of years ago, but this was more in regards to the PR and informational pamphlets and such. So, it was a little bit different scope than our previous RFB&D resolution.
In fact, the national resolution was derived from our resolution, as I recall.
Yes, it was. Okay, resolution 2009 AB8, deals with agencies serving the blind and visually impaired.
Strike
which? Oh, I'm sorry. It's been a long weekend. It feels like it's the fall. Okay. This one was submitted by Charles Navaretti. Whereas budget cuts in funding for the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, have led to reductions in funds available for department services, including those for consumers who are blind or visually impaired. And whereas funding reductions have, however, disproportionately impacted services for persons with visual impairments. And whereas California's receipt of $56 million in economic stimulus package funding for the Department of Rehabilitation will certainly enable the department to provide much needed funding that focuses on increasing employment of persons with disabilities. And whereas recently, even while cuts were being absorbed by private agencies serving those with visual impairments, the department was able to allocate substantial additional funding to the independent living centers. And whereas earlier this year, efforts by Blind Enterprise, efforts by the Business Enterprise Program to obtain a share of the economic stimulus package funding for BEP to develop 7 roadside rest stops were apparently unsuccessful. And only after intense pressure from CCB and other organizations did the department agree to develop an unspecified number of these locations. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization urged the department to ensure that appropriate levels of economic stimulus package funding are provided to programs and services for consumers who are blind or visually impaired. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor for adoption of the resolution. Any discussion?
I have a question.
It was my understanding that there is still consideration for some roadside rest. I think the last number I heard was a possibility of 5.
That's why we said you weren't listening, Artis.
Jeff, do you want?
That's why we said that they have approved, after intense pressure, they've approved an as yet unspecified number of them.
We heard several different numbers yesterday, Artis, so.
Yeah, we don't know.
Unspecified is as specific as we felt like we could get.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions?
Aye.
The resolution is adopted. Thank you very much. Okay, Gabe, go on to the next resolution. While you're pulling that up, let's hear a cheer for, I know it's been mentioned a couple times this weekend at other meetings that I've been to, but let's hear a cheer for those upcoming newlyweds, Kevin Berkery and Artis Bazin. Say what? No, but we're all coming anyway.
Or as I said last night, why doesn't Kevin just change his name? Make it easier.
And there will be sports events on throughout the wedding.
As an yet unspecified location. That would probably be a smart idea, Kathy. All right. I am ready with resolution 2009A9. Okay, see if I get my numbers and letters and years and everything else correct here. It's a minor miracle. These next two, this one and actually our next resolution, were both brought to us by RSVC. This one is dealing with, I'm sorry, Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. And this first one deals with communications from Department of Rehabilitation. I hope I get that right, guys. So here we go. Whereas the Federal Randolph Shepherd Act Amendments of 1974, Section 107B1, mandate that the Department of Rehabilitation, which is the state licensing agency, shall provide a fiscal solvency report. And whereas this report shall provide data including but not limited to A, Business Enterprise Program, BEP, vendor set-aside fees, B, expenditures paid from the set-aside fund to date, C, percentage of federal matching funds placed back into the set-aside fund per expenditures, and D, a total year-to-date balance of the funds. And whereas this document must be distributed to all licensed BEP vendors in California on a quarterly basis. And whereas this document must be distributed in accessible alternative formats. Now therefore be it resolved that this organization... Okay, this organization urged the Department of Rehabilitation, which is the California State Licensing Agency, to immediately comply with the provisions of Section 107B1 of the Randolph-Shepherd Act Amendments of 1974. And be it further resolved that if the department does not implement these provisions within a reasonable period of time, that this organization work with the Randolph-Shepherd Vendors of California to explore legislative remedies to this and other problems facing BEP. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Mr. Chair, I would like to request a wordsmithing change. In the second whereas clause, says the report shall provide. I would like it to say this report is required to provide.
Okay, so strike shall and insert
is required to. Yes, or is required by law. That's even better to provide. That was suggested by David. That's fine.
It now reads, whereas this report is required by law to provide data including but not limited to, et cetera.
Discussion.
Mr. Chair?
Yep, Mr. Kaiser.
We haven't heard from Mr. Kaiser this weekend.
This is Dan, and Ed calls me Senator now. Ed, stop that. I know. Thank you, bro. Thanks, bro. Anyway, do we need that in the first resolved, you have a repeat of state licensing agency. Do we really need to repeat that twice?
Yes.
You do? Okay. If you that answered my question. Thanks.
They say yes. What? That there's your answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
74
minutes. Any further discussion? Hearing, maybe. Do we have one more? One person?
I was just questioning the way the law was cited there. Shouldn't it say the 73 Rehab Act as amended?
No. The 1974 amendments.
Yeah. But that
were
part of the Rehab Act.
Part of the 74 Rehab Act.
73.
It's not part of the 74 Rehab Act. It's Randolph Shepherd.
I don't. I don't know the answer.
Jeff. Yeah. Back in 1936, the Randolph-Shepard Act was passed, and then in 1974, they completely redid the bill, and it. They put amendments in there in 1974. So this Randolph-Shepard Act amendments has nothing to do with the Rehabilitation Act.
That's correct.
It technically speaking, either one of you could possibly be right because it could have been part of the Rehab Act. But I don't know whether it is or not, and so at this point, we can verify the best way to put it. We'll make a phone call to some national office or somebody like that. We'll get the ACB president to do some research on the report since he didn't make the convention.
That's why we're assigning it to him.
Okay. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Okay. Gabe, number 10.
Okay, number 10 is dealing with Randolph-Shepard vending locations. And this was also submitted to us by RSVC. Whereas the Randolph-Shepard Act provides priority in food services and or vending to licensed blind vendors on federal property. And whereas the Department of Energy, federal prisons, Veterans Administration and Homeland Security facilities, and others are federal entities. And whereas the California Department of Rehabilitation Business Enterprise Program, that one always gets me, Business Enterprise Program has not pursued Randolph-Shepard vendor rights to operate food services or collect vending machine commissions from these facilities as required by the Randolph-Shepard Act. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization strongly urge the Department of Rehabilitation Business Enterprise Program to actively obtain and develop all federal locations within the state of California for blind licensees. And be it further resolved that there be an immediate filing for federal arbitration by the department against those federal entities which have declined federal priority under the terms of the Randolph-Shepard Act. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Pretty clear. Any discussion?
I'm sorry. I think I heard Bernice and Roger over there. You're saying Veterans Affairs facilities?
Changed. It was changed some years ago. Cabinet. It's a cabinet level position called the Department of Veterans Affairs.
That's correct.
And it's so hard to change that, but it just. I'm sorry.
Okay. So we now have Veterans Affairs and Homeland Security Facilities.
Okay. All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions. Thank you very much. Resolution is adopted. So we now, I believe we were done with the policy resolutions.
That is correct, Mr. President.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I would like to commend the resolution.
Oh, they're not done.
They're not done yet.
No, those are the policy resolutions, Kathy. We still have the volunteer and hotel appreciations. I don't want it to be said that I forgot them again. Okay. Volunteer appreciation. Whereas volunteers make the convention much easier and more enjoyable for all convention attendees. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind and convention assembled this 5th day of April 2009 at the Arden West Hilton Hotel in the city of Sacramento, that this organization express its deepest gratitude and sincerest thanks to the volunteers, including, and we will insert the names at this point, names of individuals and organizations who have made this convention possible. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. I just want to tell everybody that we do make it a practice to send out individual certificates on this resolution to every volunteer. We try to get everybody signed up on our sheet, and we send them out individually so that everybody knows and everybody gets recognition. So, okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Very good. Very good. Okay, Gabe.
Okay, moving right along. This one is going to be number 12.
See, you didn't do it. You said you only had 10 resolutions.
No, I said we had. I get to argue with Kathy. I believe I said, Kathy, that we had 10 resolutions submitted, and then we had the two appreciation resolutions. So.
Kathy knew that. Two withdrawn. She was just testing you.
Did I pass? Okay. Hotel appreciation. Be it resolved by the California Council of Blind and Convention assembled this 5th day of April 2009 at the Arden West Hilton Hotel in the city of Sacramento, that this organization express its appreciation for the services provided prior to and during its spring 2009 convention by the staff of the Arden West Hilton Hotel, and be it further resolved that the president of this organization forward this resolution to the hotel management. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. We will do it. Gabe?
Thank you, Mr.
Well, let Gabe have some remarks first, I think he wants to make, and then you can make
First, that does conclude the reading of the resolutions. I do have a few things I'd like to say. First, I want to thank the committee, Jean Lozano, Marvelena Gray, Charles Navarrete, Linda Perel, and Wynn Downing, and our newest attendee, Frank Welty, who spent much time in there helping us out with wording and regulations and such, so that was nice. I think that's all the members that we had here this convention. The other folks that spent a lot of time in there working with us is several people from RSVC. Trish Leitz was in there again, as she often does, helping out. Therese, I forget her last name.
Gardner
from rehab helped out quite a bit. And there were others. Capital Chapter provided snacks. That's always appreciated. So thank you. And also thank you to everybody who submitted resolutions. As always, it's an exciting time in resolutions. It's always fun to see the policies of this organization being set forth. Now, on a personal note, I have enjoyed the privilege of being able to serve as resolutions chair for several years now, in one form or another, basically. And I have told Jeff that by the end of this year, I would like him to be able to find a replacement resolutions chair. So if anybody is interested in that position and what it entails or any information, you know, anything else, please contact either myself or Jeff, and we can talk about it. So thank you, everybody, for everything and for your support in this position.
But Gabe isn't leaving the committee. We're not going to let him do that.
And that, Mr. President, does conclude the resolutions committee report.
Okay. Kathy, I'll let you make your comment before the motion. Maybe you can make the motion as well to accept the committee report after your comment.
I'll do that first because the comment has nothing to do with this.
Okay.
I move that the resolution report be accepted.
All right. There's a motion and a second. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The motion is adopted. Thank you, Gabe. Thank you, committee.
My comment was going to be that I was happy to get to meet Dan's boss last night. She sounds like a nice lady. But I think it's important, as much as we like to enjoy ourselves at conventions and at banquets, that when we introduce our speaker and when there's somebody from the legislature, and unless it changes, it won't be a problem often because we haven't been able to get a lot of them, but hopefully we'll get more. I think we should always know the district that they come from. And when we introduce them, we should give them the name of assemblywoman or assemblyman, whoever they are. I don't believe that was done last night. And I think it's a little respectful thing to do. No matter how well we know the legislators, it hasn't been our practice to go in there and call them by first name or whatever. Anyhow, that's just my suggestion. I think that we should enjoy them, but be very careful. Because, you know, not many of them will come and give their time and sit and do what she did and stay through it. And I, too, Mr. President, would suggest that when we have the awards committee or some long committee like scholarships when they're coming, that we consult them first. Maybe that was done. Consult them first to see if they would like to be on the program first. Because I know a lot of legislators have come just to do their presentation and then go. And anyway, that's my comment. My question is, can't we get some microphones so that we can go back to the way of having microphones go around this room? It does cause delays to get to the mic, and it causes some people an awful lot of running around after putting the mics. Are we?
Kathy, let me address your question, because I have struggled with this issue myself. We had a little discussion about it a few days ago. I have the same concern you do. Let me just give you the other side of it, and that is that the wireless mics often don't pick up because of the internet problems and battery problems and other things, and there are a lot of complaints that our tapes don't come out well when we use the wireless mics. So we use them intermittently here. We'll see how they work out. We're sort of on the horns of a dilemma, but I certainly hear what you're saying, because I shared it the other day when we had this discussion. So I understand where you're coming from.
Could we do some research to see if we can find some better wireless mics?
Well, not unless we were to spend thousands of dollars, literally, on wireless mics. We've got pretty good ones, really. But part of the problem is all the Wi-Fi stuff that we're competing with in these hotels and other things. There's various problems, but we'll look at it and we'll see how it turned out this time, and maybe things went better. Okay, let me, before I ask for committee reports and such, I want to recognize, did you all like those snacks that you had this week up in hospitality?
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, well... Van Mart of Sacramento, that's right, lots of chips and water and all sorts of things. And Van Mart of Sacramento was kind enough to, they work with Joni Patchy, and they donated just absolutely tons of stuff. And so we really appreciate what they have done for us. This is the second time they have done it. It certainly made things much better in hospitality and in the welcome party. I also want to say, I don't have any official figures yet, but it wouldn't surprise me that between the hospitality and the welcome party, the CCB may end up making $400 or $500. So we'll take whatever we can get. So thank you all for being hospitable. And thank the Capital Chapter for allowing us to have the profit.
Hostable.
And thank you all for Paul for working so hard. And Paul Jr., his son, who is not here, but who was incredible. And Lonnie and so many others. So much work. Joni, all the work that they did. A lot of work went on with hospitality. And we made out very well, CCB did, because of it. So, okay. Committee reports. Are there any committees that have reports? One thing I am going to do, I am going to have, in the not too distant future, a committee call. One idea, or one thing which I was going to do and did not, and I do plan on doing it, I'm going to follow through like I have not done. We will have, in upcoming BCs, two or three committee reports per issue. That was planned before. I didn't stick to it, but I will stick to it, and that's one of the things I want to talk about with my committee chairs when we have that call, so look forward to that. Any committee reports? Okay, hearing none?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good. Good, good. Okay.
Okay, I just want to make a brief request. Anyone that would like to sign up to the membership listserv, please get your email address to me, and I'll make sure you get on that list. We do circulate articles and information, and always appreciate when people also submit their ideas to that listserv. And, of course, we always put a report in the Blind Californian, too, so if you aren't on email, you do get similar information. Thanks.
And if you're on the list, you get a wedding invitation, right? Is that the way that works?
Okay, Jeff,
Bernice.
The comment that I wanted to make that I didn't make the other evening is that we would like to start transitioning the BC to audio and data CDs, and that's one further way of cutting costs. And if those cassettes, are drying up, if people are wishing to receive their BC in one of those two formats, please, we need to develop a method by which people can let us know, so we would have a count for that.
Mr. President?
Yes. Do we have? Is that a, from a committee chair perspective here?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. No, you're just commenting on publications. That's fine.
This is Christy Crespin. I just want to say that it's really awesome getting the BC and the Braille Forum by email, because it's just right there, and as soon as it comes, I read it, and if I want to Braille out anything or print out anything, I can, but I get it before everybody else does, and I love that.
We do not deploy it until one other quarter goes out.
Yes, and more people are beginning to give us the information that they wanted as email, as part of the roster. And of course, when you do that, it enables us to, not provide a more expensive method. So that's very much appreciated. But that doesn't mean you have to do that. But if email is acceptable to you, then it does help the bottom line financially.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Gene Lozano. I still would like to be, I'm one of those old dinosaurs that still likes the audio cassette tapes and is not connected all the time to a computer. I have a auditory learning disability and synthetic speech. Listening to that after 20 minutes or so, I experience a great deal of fatigue. The human voice, rich voice, works for me. So I would like us to consider holding on to the tapes until it's impossible to have that for those of us with multiple disabilities. Thank you.
Mr. President, this is Lisa Gordon. About the publications issue, I was sort of thinking about the program that you get for the convention. It might save some money if many of us could just put it on, when we register, put it on our Braille notes. I would have been just as happy to do that and save the CCB a little bit of money.
Well,
that's an option for the future.
It's a thought. At various, for example, AFB at Josephine Taylor will give you little thumb drives. And yes, and ACB downloads it, as Roger says. So we may want to explore some of that, because certainly, if we can, a Braille program costs a heck of a lot more than a little tiny thumb drive does. So it's...
It was certainly our intent to have it up on the web.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're moving in those directions, I think.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Foster Brown.
Foster.
21st century, we need to come with the, podcasts. You can even, if you do record the minutes in voice, put them on CD. Some people still have CDs. And 3.5 floppy is way outdated. So for those that do have laptops, if you were to put like the program brochure, say on a flash drive, a USB flash drive, then when people sign in for the convention, they could just put that USB in their flash drive, load it on the computer, be done with it. It'll save the bottom line as far as buying floppy disks, which are way outdated. Sorry.
All right. What I'd like to do is a couple more, but then are there any, I want to know if there are any other committee chairs that want to also file reports.
Jeff, I have a question I need to ask.
If not, well, wait a minute. That's okay. You'll get to ask your question. No, no, you're not yet. Not yet. We have people before you. Yeah. But I do want to know, just as a raise of hands for the moment, are there other committee chairs that want to present their... Okay, governmental affairs. Okay, thank you. Now, go ahead, Pam, with your question.
Donna.
And Donna, okay. Donna as well. Oh, then Donna first. Donna and then Pam and then...
Lena.
Lena.
And I had just wanted to say that, you know, maybe we can add to the format request, you know, some type of electronics so that that might cut down on, you know, the other formats if people prefer the electronic, because we're all about choices. So I think we should just add that on the pre-reg to the format. Thanks.
Okay. Pam?
Okay, I have, my question is twofold. Who is the fundraising chair for the CCB?
John Ross.
Okay. And if I have some fundraising ideas for the state, do I give it to John and we can discuss it that way?
Give it to John.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take all the ideas we can get.
Hold on, I got one more before you guys. I'm running.
Lena's next and then Kathy.
Oh, I got Sheila.
I was asked.
Well, we're going to take Lena and then Kathy and then others.
I hollered before Lena did, but no.
Well, but I didn't hear you, so I can't.
Then next time I put it out.
You will get the floor, Sheila.
Okay. I just wanted to say that, I have two questions. One being, I'm a Braille teacher, so I'm sorry, but I am a purist, and I would like to make sure that while we're trying to save money, Braille does not, fade out.
Don't worry. The president's not going to give up his blind California
okay,
Braille either.
Because neither am I. But the other is, is it possible and does it happen that blind people narrate the blind Californian onto these cassette tapes / audio CDs? And if not, could that be a possibility?
No. It's RFB&D.
And it's free.
RFB&D.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Kathy and then Sheila.
When you have Kathy now, are you talking about the legislative report?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Whatever you want to talk about.
How long do you have?
I withdraw.
How long do you
Peter
have?
Peter said I withdraw that.
Okay, this won't be long. The Governmental Affairs Committee met yesterday. We went over some things that Frank has identified for us that we're looking at that we will or will not take positions at or will simply watch for the time being. I think Frank will probably get that prepared and get it out to the Governmental Affairs Committee members. And I don't know. I believe that Frank will probably be putting on the connection the report like we used to have. I want to point out to everybody that, and of course I'd say this because you say, oh, well, it's just because she doesn't do it. I think it's essential. We have to remember, I don't care how much modern things are, and it's wonderful, and I'm glad you got it, as many of you that do, but the majority and the youth members in this organization still do not have access to computers, and I think we've got to be very careful to keep our legislative information and all of our other information on the connection in the BC and in Braille and in any form we can get to. We do not want to get an organization where we cater only to people who can afford to have computers and do have them.
That is correct, and we will always be an organization with a lot of, even as time goes on, with all the seniors that we will have in this organization.
The key to I'm sorry.
That's all right. We always need to reach out to everybody, computer literate or not.
We need to strengthen ourselves and get to where we can really be known again throughout the state. We've been known right along, and the legislature pretty well knows that we're here. But we're asking that each chapter provide Frank with the name of a person who will be your legislative representative. I don't care what we do and how involved we become and how many issues. Where it is for us is getting the laws passed, but then, just as important, getting them implemented. If we can go and have every chapter and people who are not in the chapters, if they're willing to join the committee, go to your local legislators, get to know your senators and assemblymen, get to know your congressmen, attend their town hall meetings, go into their local offices and say who you are, and even take a small committee from your chapter. Get to know those people. When we send somebody back to Washington, or when Bridges goes there, or Melanie Brunson, they will know in Congress that they have constituents back here. It makes a difference. And when we have Franco into the legislature and he says, I'm with the California Council of the Blind, I want people in those offices to know, and Frank wants them to know, that you're out there. We have to do it. I don't know how, I know you don't know how much of legislation we've lost that we passed through the years, but there's a lot. We're going to have to really, really get in there and fight to protect what we have for our blind and visually impaired people in every way. It starts with social services. It goes on through to rehab. And, of course, employment. It just gets me when I'm upset about the 10% unemployment rate as everybody else is in a state. But don't forget to remind them that we've had a 70% unemployment rate for a very long time. And no matter what we've done, it hasn't been better, it's gotten better. And if you have a problem finding jobs for people with disabilities when the employment rates for the other folks are good, it's sure not a picnic for our counselors today. It's very hard. You've got to get to know the legislature. I am convinced now, as I have been always, that legislation is a very important point on which we should focus. And after this year, Donna Pomerantz, your next year, will be the legislative governmental affairs chair. I am with her and Frank this year. They do very, very well. But I'm here to offer whatever they may need or I might know or suggestions I have and help them with what they're doing. And I really, you know, I'm not going to be with you all forever. I found out this weekend it's a chore to get... I don't seem to get around like I did 40 years ago. There's something going on. But anyway, I hope that you really, really will take time when you go to your chapters to have discussions on legislation. And I've been to chapters where they say, give the legislative report. Oh, that's too long. We can't possibly spend 15 minutes on that. Well, in Bayview, we don't do that. We get in there, we send a delegate, we want to know what they found out so we'll be as informed as they are, and we do that. So please start pushing the importance of this organization in your chapter and legislation in particular. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ed, do you guys want to start collecting badges at this point? We're not done yet, but it's probably a good time. Mine's out here. Okay. Sheila, Audrey, and then Jerry Consler.
Hello. First of all, I hollered before Lena, but anyway. But what I wanted to say is that Top Gun and Associates has the technology to provide a DAISY formatted audio recording that can be available as a zip file and or an MP3 off the website, as well as any darned old format you want to put anywhere, anyhow, in addition to whatever electronic and braille you do. Okay, I feel stupid now, but that's all right. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for all those comments. All right, who's next? Audrey.
I want to thank you for the beautifully done program and hotel description. It's a wonderful size. I stuck mine in my bag today because I still want to look at it and get ideas. Thank you. I've been screaming about 8.5 by 11 pages so that they're better carried around and easier to deal with. Thank you.
Now, you know, I have to tell a funny story. I hope Elena won't mind me telling this story. But so you like the narrower paper?
Yeah.
Well, the reason you got it is because there was a problem with the embosser. And she had to, and in order to make sure that it worked, she had to use narrower paper. And she thought the same thing. She thought, I think it's better as well. So I think we may in the future go to that paper. Okay, no, next is going to be Jerry Consler.
Greetings from the CCB Thrift Store Task Force. Ken Metz, Peter Pardini, President Tom, and myself. And by virtue of her being one of the few people who answers the telephone directly, Kathy Skivers, I appreciate her help in all we're doing. It's not easy. We need a thrift store. We would like to have a thrift store. We've sent a letter by fax to over 100 chambers of commerce in the state of California. Haven't heard anything yet, but I think it was a great idea. If you know anything, know anybody that can help us identify a thrift store, let us know. gconsler@charter.net or call the office and they can get in touch with me. Thank you so much.
We're continuing to work on it, and we will.
Mr. President.
Jerry.
Hi. A quick request and a suggestion for the first-timer seminar. I've been privileged to chair the seminar for a couple of years now, and it's always a great experience. A suggestion was made, which I thought was an excellent one, by a first-timer yesterday, that you know, we're so used to glibly talking about acronyms, CALUA and GDUC and CCLV. Is there a way we can include a boilerplate in each program that lists all the affiliates with their acronyms?
Good idea. We refer to that to the publications committee.
Okay.
No, it's a very good idea.
Yeah, I thought so too.
And acronyms.
And the suggestion I want to make, and I'll be very brief about this, is, you know, every time I chair this seminar, it always strikes me that what makes, and I hear this from first-timers all the time, what as good as our advocacy and our information dissemination, our services are, what really makes this organization great is the wonderful collection of people, the diverse talents and experiences, everything that all of us have to offer. If you look around and you talk to folks, you find out things about people that you would never know other than just through private conversation. So I want to suggest to all of you that if you meet a first-timer, don't if they identify themselves as a first-timer or a fairly new conventioneer, take the time to talk to them. Find out where they're coming from, what their interests are, and give them something of yourself, because that's really what makes, I think, really what makes this organization very special. So, thank you.
Excellent, Jerry. Thank you very much. Okay. I can't remember who was next. Lewis?
Yeah.
Lewis, okay.
And first of all, I wanted to give kudos to Diana for the tape that she made, the cassette tape. I found that it was very informative and that I was able to switch back and forth and find out where I was supposed to be in what room and things of this nature. I don't know what some people found, but it was helpful when she put it in alphabetical order, and then it was easier for me to find once the convention had gotten started.
All right. Thank you, Lewis.
Who did the reading?
The publications committee, that
the
was
design
their
was
format.
Bernice, but I think Diana did the reading.
Okay. Diana, did Diana do the reading? I do not know.
Yeah. The second thing I wanted to say is that there has been in the past a saying that there's no such thing as bad publicity. Well, just stop and think about it. I think that the president of the Special Olympics Committee is going to get an invitation by President Obama to the White House to play some basketball. Bowling. Some to go bowling. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because people are sensitive to an economic kind of period, things being expensive. This is no time for us to stop talking about what our needs are. It is even a better time if we get attention that can carry over to times when the funds are there. So don't stop asking for what we need.
All right. Thank you very much. Wynn, yes. I heard that Wynn had a comment.
The Braille Revival League of California has a magazine called The Braille Writer. Comes out twice a year, and everybody liked that form that you just talked about with the 8x11.5 sheets. However, we were losing money and continue to lose money all the time. We have not come up with a good means of fundraising, so we began to look around for things that we could do. And Lynn Laird informed us, she's the person who puts our material on Braille, that it's almost a third cheaper if you use it on those larger sheets. I just asked at the Braille Revival League meeting that we had during this week if the group felt that they could put up with that and not have the more convenient sheets, and that was their vote. So if you're looking to save some money, there's a way. Saving money isn't always attractive.
What kind of sheets win? Okay, thank you, Wynn. Any other comments? No other committee chairs. Okay, old business. Do we have any old business? New business. Do we have any new business? Okay, I want... Okay, Jerry? No, he's just standing up. Okay, I want to request on behalf of the convention committee, Gene and myself, that I want to request that you do it quickly. We want to really get moving quickly on an agenda for the convention in October. And by that, I not only mean the general session agenda, but I also mean the agenda for your special interest groups, because the sooner we can get out information on and finalize things, the better it might be for sponsorships, the better it might be for a variety of things. So let's try this year to work more quickly on trying to put together ideas. It will take a while. It won't all come together quickly. But we want, not only do we want your work, but we also want your ideas. If you have general session ideas, or if you have specific panel session ideas for your specific affiliate groups, get that to the president of that particular affiliate or committee chair. If you have items for the general session, get it to Gene or the office, so we can begin to really work hard. I don't think Mary Beth is in the room. You are. You want to say something, Mary Beth, about your host committee really quick?
There we go. I would just like to say that we've already been meeting and working on ourselves getting sponsorships, and we've had several chapter members come up with ideas, and so I agree with Jeff completely that the sooner we can come up with ideas and start getting things organized, the better. And we're working really, really hard to make everybody's stay in Fresno be the best it can possibly be. And so certainly our chapter will welcome any ideas that somebody might have for the fall convention. So just make sure you call the office and they can pass information along to us too if necessary. So we're looking forward to Fresno.
October 29th through November 1st. Looking good. I'm submitting to the treasurer a voucher request for a diamond to wear in my lapel. I imagine it only cost a few thousand dollars. Are there any other last items to come before the body? Hearing none. Yes, okay. No, not yet. Did somebody want the floor?
Yes,
Jacqueline, okay.
Real quick. The Association of Multicultural Concerns, we have adopted this season a global literacy project, and we're trying to raise $3,600 to give Braille writers to developing countries that have schools for blind individuals in Africa or Asia or the Caribbean. So you'll be receiving some correspondence. I brought it all here, but there just was no time to do that. And we made a wonderful contact with the Lions Club up here in Sacramento, someone that's over national Lions that's going to assist us. So let's get on board. We want to spread literacy everywhere. Second comment, AMC is going to try to charter a bus from San Diego to Fresno. So if you want to get on a party bus, we don't want no bad attitudes, and come, we'll get information out to you. Thank you.
Party from San Diego. Okay, Donna Pomeranz on the floor.
I just wanted to say that I'm glad that as the board liaison for Blind Students of California, we had an awesome meeting, and our person who was supposed to do the labyrinth didn't come, so when we finished all that lively discussion, we went into general session, and I hope that each and every one of you will do what you can to support Blind Students of California, because we need to get more.
Yes, indeed. That's the future, or at least a good part of it. Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn the first half of the 75th anniversary year of the California Council of the Blind? Motion and a second. All those in favor? All opposed? And abstentions? And we'll see you in Fresno! Thank you very, very much.